Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You just heard the reading of our text for this morning, which is the Galatians text, so I won't read it again for you. I'd like to ask you a question. I guess most of us have been to various parties. Have you ever been to the party where you play the game called gossip? You know, you sit around in kind of a circle, and someone comes and kind of whispers to one person what is a rumor. And it's supposed to go all around the room, and by the time it comes to the first person, you try to see, is there any semblance of the original particular gossip? If you play that game, it's very interesting. It very seldom comes out or comes back the way it started. In Galatia, it wasn't so much gossip that they were dealing with, but that plays a role. They were dealing with people who spoke falsely. People who did not tell the truth about Jesus Christ and about the saving message. The contention, as you read the book, and I think you should read it all at one time, notice Paul is really trying to say, those people who keep saying the law this and the law that and the law is the way to go and you must be circumcised, you must do the old way, are really destroying the gospel of Jesus Christ. How they do this? They had to talk. They had to make some presentation to somebody. They had to take the truth and change it a bit. They had to think that they were doing what God thought, they thought God was pleased with, and yet he wasn't. How do we know that in Galatia? In chapter 3, Paul says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" He gets angry. I mean, really. Then he goes on a verse before our text. He speaks to the people who have spoken wrongfully, who have not really come at this thing lovingly and put Christ first. He said, I wish you people would mutilate yourselves. That's what I feel about. That's how intense he was when someone takes the truth and tries to turn it into a lie. Then Paul says, for freedom you were called, brethren, only do not turn your freedom to an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I guess that's kind of difficult. Are we really those kind of people who always do the right thing? Are we really prone to lean towards what God really wants us to do? Are we really prone to think that what we feel is correct? He says, you have freedom. All of us have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All of us are spotless due to his effort. All of us have the eternal hope of salvation. You've been free from the curse of sin. You are free from damnation. But you are not free to misuse that freedom. According to him, freedom has a high price tag on it in terms of responsibility. You are free to serve one another. How did Christ put it? Love one another, even as I have loved you. And he's talking again about people who say the wrong things, the false prophets, the false teachers, and also to the Christian community. Now, use your imagination. The people who spoke wrongly thought they were right. But they were wrong. If you get the sense of Paul's agony here, you see he's hurt. But he's terribly hurt because people who thought they were right, felt they were right, acted as if they were right, but did wrong. They didn't hold up Christ. They did not hold up love as a motivating factor in their lives. They didn't say, by love, serve one another. They said, by my rights, by what I think is right, I will act accordingly. They didn't do as Christ would have them to do. This hurt Paul. Have you ever been hurt by a rumor? Have you ever had something said about you you knew wasn't true, and it spreads around, and you know how it happens? You're the last one to get it, you know? And it comes back to you, and you say, what? And then the hurt it does to you. You ever feel the agony and the anguish that comes when you know someone is lying about you? And they tell you, but I say these things to help you. I'm doing this out of my Christian duty. And they may mean that, but when your heart is cut, when the wounds are there, can their apology remove the wound like that? It still hurts, doesn't it? You still become the one who must wear a sign like Hester in Scarlet Letter had to wear a little A saying, I'm an adulteress. It still hurts. And I guess that's why Scripture warns us about our tongue. If we are to speak, let us speak the oracles of God. If we are to talk, let us speak lovingly. And if we are to speak the truth in love, not one's false conviction. I think Paul made it very plain. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. And I think one thing we must realize is satanic activity. Satan is very clever, so clever we can't even imagine how clever he is. He is a good sideliner. Why should he tell us to preach false doctrine, deny the deity of Christ, deny the resurrection, when he can tell us to play around fighting each other and ignore the gospel? If we take our low selves and say, I have to get on my high righteous horse and really tell about somebody else whether I know it's the truth or not, I have to tell this, and I feel I'm doing the right thing, but I haven't checked it out. And if we feel we must bite each other, devour each other, can't you see him just smiling, says, ah, well done, well done. Keep that up. Stay away from that Christ talk. Stay away from that gospel. Keep on backbiting. Keep on doing it. Well done. And like you have the Olympics going on, you might get a gold medal. But who wants a gold medal from Satan? You know what it's called? Hell. Who wants that? None of us. But we are a Christian community, and I think we have to always come back to this cross of Christ, and even look at Jesus Christ. It depended on who the people were, how they talked about him. In Matthew 11, it's called a drunkard. Notice who was given the opinion. By those who had their children healed and some people raised from the dead, he was called a great man, a Messiah, the prophet. It depended on how he related to you, not who he was. It wasn't always important to the person out there that this was the Son of God. What was important is what they felt in their heart was important to them about that Jesus Christ. And like the rest of us, he was up for gossip too. He was accused of a lot of things, and we know he was sinless. And that's our Lord and Savior. And if he says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. It doesn't justify wrong, but it does say, hey, look, I went through all of this that you would not have to go through the same thing to the same intensity. That you might gather your forces, mobilize yourself, and by love serve one another. If we are to fight, let's fight the common enemy. The common enemy is Satan, not fellow Christians. In Galatia, they wouldn't have said, not one of them believe would have said, hey, Satan's in our congregation, he's causing havoc. They wouldn't have said that. They thought they too were doing the right thing. There were a lot of people stirring up that congregation, causing all kinds of trouble and people losing their faith. Paul goes so far as to say, you are fallen from grace if you believe you're justified by the law. Sounds kind of just a law thing to be so stern, but that's what he was talking about. It was very serious. It wasn't light, but mouths started this. Words. Chatter, not exalting Christ, but exalting whatever viewpoint that person had. This is the last day of our summer session. Now, I'll lay a challenge on you. We're all called to Christ. We're all called to serve him. And as all of you have been in the soup and you've heard various conversations, when you hear anytime, anywhere you happen to be, something that doesn't really glorify Christ, or when a person may jokingly malign someone, don't spread it around. Don't be part and parcel to it. Don't get on your righteous high horse and try and chastise the person, but try and do a loving thing. Try and ask the person, do you know that that's true? Do you know whether what you're doing is for Christ's exaltation or for a hidden agenda? You're all going to become ministers by the grace of God, those of you who are males. And you're going to be in the spotlight again. And there'll be rumors about you everywhere you go. When you go to do God's work, someone will say, aha, 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 about something or another that they don't like. You know, no messenger of God has ever stopped to do God's work because of an idle mouth. The apostles were told to shut up. And don't talk about this Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead. You're making a mess. They said, no, we can't do that. We ought to obey God rather than men, and you have to do the same thing. We are called to serve one another and serve Christ as our head, to put aside rivalry, envy, maliciousness, and jealousies. I think verse 25 kind of wraps it up. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. And just before that, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, against which there is no law. May it please Almighty God that as you all go to your various ways after the school day is over, some may be leaving right now and after chapel, that the Spirit of God will dwell in you, that you too will, by love, serve one another, love of Christ. And we as a Christian community can continue to put our priorities first, that the love of God is first, the gospel of Christ is first, and all of those things should be pushed aside. We have a Holy Spirit that dwells in the heart that says, yes, we can do that. We have the power of God that says, that forgives us for our shortcomings and says, yes, it can work. But let me just say one more thing to emphasize what bad news can do. Has anyone ever hurt you real bad in your life? If they did, I mean really bad, and they came back and said, I'm sorry, the hurt didn't go away, you kind of grit your teeth and say, that's all right, that's all right, that's what you probably did. But right now, every one of you can still remember the time you were hurt badly. And it's not because you weren't forgiving, it's because it hurt so bad. James says the tongue can be a restless evil, but he also said this: with the mouth bless we the Father, and with the tongue curse we men. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Let us do that which God has called us to do. Bless the Father. Bless the Father. And not curse men. That's what our call is all about. But we are to minister one to another lovingly. We are to minister lovingly one to another. But underscore lovingly. May God's grace be upon you as this day comes to an end, as you go to your various places, and may he be with you until we meet again to study his word and also to live it. God grant this through Jesus Christ's name. Amen.